Page 6. Celebrating recent success, taking on new challenges at the 2011 ACB Legislative Seminar by Frank Welty. The 2011 Legislative Seminar of the American Council of the Blind took place from Sunday, February 27 through Tuesday, March 1. CCB members Artis Bazin, Hazel and Roy Harmon, Ray Ann Myers, Donna and Mitch Pomerantz, Richard Rueda, Frank Welty, and Isabel Ibarra joined ACB members from throughout the United States to learn about current federal legislation of concern to blind Americans and to share this information with Congress. Isabel and Ray Ann attended the seminar for the first time. Both performed like seasoned veteran advocates. While most of our many congressional meetings were with staff members, Ray Ann and Isabel both got to meet face-to-face with their respective congresswomen, and Isabel even got pictures of herself standing with Representative Linda Sanchez. Page 7. We spent Sunday afternoon and all day Monday in training meetings where a lineup of excellent speakers briefed us on current issues. Sunday afternoon's first speaker was Janine Warden, Deputy Chief, Civil Rights Division, U.S. Department of Justice. She gave an update on ADA regulations. CCB members will recall that Ms. Warden provided an ADA training seminar during our fall 2010 convention. The next speaker was Donald L. Call, Executive Director, Equal Rights Center. The Equal Rights Center has helped thousands of individuals to obtain redress for acts of discrimination. ACB has recently worked with the center to document a pattern of discrimination against guide dog handlers by taxi drivers operating in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Page 8. Melanie Brunson, ACB's Executive Director, rounded out Sunday's program with a review of ACB's recent legal advocacy activities. On Sunday evening, ACB's student affiliate, the National Alliance of Blind Students, hosted a game night fundraiser. During this event, teams of competitive, enthusiastic ACBers strove to answer trivia questions that got tougher as the evening went along. It was noticed that the event became an unexpected demonstration of the power of access technology. When certain individuals from states other than California surreptitiously demonstrated their skill at looking up trivia answers on their internet-enabled talking cell phones. Emily Corey, Legislative Director, Office of U.S. Representative Adolphus Towns, Democrat, New York, kicked off the Monday training session with the how-tos of having an effective meeting with your member of Congress. Then Mark Richard, Director, Public Policy, American Foundation for the Blind, talked about the issue of making prescription drug labels accessible and about the need to advocate for Medicare to pay for low vision services. Stephen C. Schwadron, member, Cousin O'Connor Public Strategies, told us about the detrimental impact that IRS regulations have had on charities through their vehicle donation programs and about how we can advocate with Congress to change the law to revive car donation programs. CCB has experienced this situation firsthand and will be working hard to get our California congressional representatives behind fixing the problem. Page 9. Karen Pelt Strauss, Deputy Chief, Consumer and Governmental Affairs, Bureau of Federal Communications Commission, was our luncheon speaker. She talked about how the FCC is working to prepare regulations to implement the 21st Century Video and Communications Access Act that ACB helped to enact last year. After lunch, Blaine Werke, Deputy Assistant General Counsel, Office of Aviation Enforcement and Proceedings, U.S. Department of Transportation, discussed the Air Carrier Access Act and what it means for blind travelers. See Stephen Mendelson's article in this issue. Aaron Bishop, Executive Director, National Council on Disability, spoke about the future of NCD and its issues for 2011. Dan Sippel, President, Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America, provided an update on current issues of concern to blind vendors. Speaking of vendors, on Monday morning, Roy and Hazel Harmon accompanied Mr. Sippel to a meeting with members of the Committee for Purchase, the group that coordinates federal government buying from Ability One and agencies affiliated with National Industries for the Blind. This was an opportunity to educate members of the committee on the Randolph Shepherd program and how it differs from the Javits Wagner O'Day program. Page 10. On Tuesday, our CCB team got a lot of exercise, going to meetings in the offices of both of our senators and about 40 of the members of our California delegation in the House of Representatives. We also provided information packets for the dozen or so representatives with whom we couldn't get meetings. We thank CCB members who called their members of Congress to help us get appointments. My guide dog, Jeep, did a lot of guiding, getting compliments and petting while walking halls, riding in elevators, and lying on office rugs. While all this activity was going on, ACB President Mitch Pomerantz had the privilege of presenting awards to congressmen and senators who had sponsored legislation for ACB in 2010. Mitch also met with Ruth Scoville, Interim Director at the Natural Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. Summary of 2011 ACB Legislative Initiatives. During our visits to Capitol Hill on March 1, CCB members shared information about ACB's three current legislative initiatives: Medicare coverage of low vision devices, access to prescription drug label information, and the amendment of the Internal Revenue Code to promote charitable donations of qualified vehicles. Here is a summary of these issues. Page 11. 1. Accessible prescription drug labeling. The issue: at least 25 million Americans experience severe vision loss, impacting their ability to independently read prescription labeling and related information. Given that the incidence of vision loss is expected to dramatically increase, this poses a significant public health challenge. The Food and Drug Administration, FDA, implements laws and regulations that govern the amount and nature of information provided to the public about prescription drugs. However, the FDA has never issued specific regulations or guidelines to guarantee that prescription drug information intended for patients is accessible to persons who are blind or visually impaired. In general, states are the primary regulators of the content and format of information provided directly on prescription bottles and or pharmacy-provided packaging. Nearly all of the states in the Union have statutory requirements pertaining to prescription labeling. However, no state law ensures that prescription labeling is accessible to persons with vision loss. Legislative action. ACB calls on Congress to introduce and pass the Prescription Drug Accessibility Act. This legislation would grant the FDA clear authority to regulate this area and develop standards to ensure that prescription labeling is accessible to individuals with vision loss. A number of existing solutions demonstrate the feasibility of providing access to prescription drug labeling, and pharmacies should be prepared to provide prescription labeling by multiple means. Page 12. 2. Low vision aid exclusion. The issue: in November of 2008, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, promulgated a regulation that has had a detrimental impact on the lives of countless individuals who are blind or visually impaired. To the dismay of the blind community, the Durable Medical Equipment Prosthetics, Orthotics, and Supplies, DMEPOS, Competitive Acquisition Rule contains a provision entitled Low Vision Aid Exclusion, which states that all devices, irrespective of their size, form, or technological features, that use one or more lens to aid vision or provide magnification of images for impaired vision, are excluded from Medicare coverage based on the statutory eyeglass exclusion. ACB is well aware that this extremely restrictive reading of the eyeglass exclusion has resulted in the denial of vital assistive devices for seniors and other Medicare beneficiaries who may have disabilities, particularly those with vision loss, who need to use such devices to live healthy, safe, and independent lives. Page 13. This proposal has had a significant impact on beneficiaries with vision impairments who depend on assistive technology that incorporates one or more lens to aid in their vision. The expansion of the eyeglass exclusion has prevented access to devices such as handheld magnifiers, video monitors, and other technologies that utilize lenses to enhance vision. Unbelievably, CMS has also excluded coverage of inexpensive devices like white canes. Legislative action. ACB calls on the U.S. House of Representatives and Senate to introduce and pass the Low Vision Devices Inclusion Act of 2011. This critical legislation would overturn the CMS regulation barring coverage for low vision devices and establish criteria for their provision. Such criteria would acknowledge other distinctive features employed by the most valuable low vision devices other than their mere use of a lens, such as the device's integration of a light source, use of electrical power, or other distinctive features. 3. Vehicle donation. The issue? Since its original authorization in 1986, charitable vehicle donation has become a critical fundraising tool for over 5,000 large and small charities like ACB and its state affiliates. Page 14. As these programs proliferated, so did concern about abuses. In November 2003, the Government Accountability Office, GAO, reported on the benefits to charities and donors that resulted from vehicle donations. Before 2005, a taxpayer could deduct the fair market value, FMV, of vehicles donated to charity. Under Section 170 of Title 26 of the U.S. Code, a donor could claim FMV as long as it was under $5,000. However, some donors were fraudulently claiming excessive deductions, and some charities were shortchanged by unscrupulous third-party contractors who managed their car donation programs. According to the GAO, these problems were exacerbated by insufficient IRS oversight to detect or police these problems. In its fiscal year 2005 budget request, the administration proposed reforming the rules governing vehicle donations by requiring a qualified appraisal on all donated vehicles. The final changes included in the American Jobs Creation Act of 2004 limited deductions over $500 to the proceeds of eventual sale of the vehicle by the charity, regardless of appraised value. Only if the charity keeps and uses the car to advance its own mission rather than selling it for the resulting revenue can the donor now deduct FMV exceeding $500. A GAO report released in 2008 documented overall decreases in vehicle donations of 15% in 2005 and another 28% in 2006. Unfortunately, since 2005, ACB has felt the consequences of this regulation and has witnessed revenues from vehicle donations shrink by 85%. The number of donated vehicles has plummeted by 94%. CCB has experienced a comparable decline in revenues from car donations. Page 15. Legislative action. Based on these reports and testimonials from charities, legislation was introduced in the 111th Congress to restore certainty to prospective car donors about the resulting deduction. That bill garnered 211 congressional co-sponsors from across the political spectrum. At the beginning of the 112th Congress, Senator John Ensign, Republican, Nevada, a member of the Senate Finance Committee, introduced the text of that bill as S-110, a bill to amend the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 to promote charitable donations of qualified vehicles. The bill permits donors to claim FMV up to $2,500 and requires the IRS to issue new guidance for donors and charities on how to properly calculate FMV. Claims of value exceeding $2,500 would require a certified appraisal. The bill would maintain IRS reporting requirements for both taxpayers and charities and retain penalties for false reporting without scaring away donors altogether. The ACB and CCB support this legislation.